ball is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Welcome into this week's episode of Nosebleeds. We'll call it the trade deadline edition because that happened yesterday and a lot of action this week. One of the more exciting trade deadlines we've seen in the past few years. Brendan Shorey here with Max Pitts and Derek Bollier. And before we even get into all the movement, all the action, Max, Derek, how you guys doing today?
Yeah, doing great. You know, always love to get on a Nosebleed podcast. Doesn't matter how the week's been going. If you get on the Nosebleeds, you're having a good week. So excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Always excited to talk some baseball and just talk about the sport we all love and the trade deadline. Obviously, yesterday, all the big moves that happened. Excited to talk all about it, the winners and the losers and everyone.
Yeah, and a lot to talk about today. And I want to start with the Yankees because they made a lot of moves. Traded for David Bednar, traded for Camilo Duvall, Jake Bird. We saw them trade for Ryan McMahon a few days before the deadline. Amed Rosario, Jose Caballero, and Austin Slater. Seven names right there that just joined the Yankees. And it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but it seems like they had one big focus, and it was on that bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely what they needed to do. You know, the offense has been there. I know a lot of people are maybe don't agree with me when I say the offense has been there, but I think the offense has been there this whole season, and it's really just been up to the bullpen, right? And I think this hopefully is something that helps them out, right? But you never know, right? I mean, everyone likes to talk winners and losers in the thing, and we will probably end up talking winners and losers in the trade deadline. But the end of the day, it's really how they fit with the new team and how comfortable they feel. And let's just hope that they feel comfortable and start playing well.
I 100% agree that the offense has been there. I've seen a lot of people talking about they need to add a lefty, they need to add a righty, they need to add offensive pieces. But the Yankees have ranked pretty highly offensively throughout the whole season. I mean, there's been some ups and downs, obviously, but it's pretty natural for a baseball team. And their bullpen rankings, especially in ERA, have been really, really bad throughout the whole year. I mean, well, it started out pretty good, but after some injuries to like Fernando Cruz, Mark Leiter Jr., and all them, the bullpen's been hurt, and this bullpen's just been tired and trying like working through, especially with other injuries to the starters. But these pieces, I mean, the Yankees have like basically five viable closers in their bullpen to use in whatever inning they need them to be, and those are really big pieces for a bullpen that struggled a lot.
Yeah, and you hear it all the time about how important a closer is, and we just saw a few days ago Billy Wagner get inducted to the Hall of Fame, one of eight relievers to be inducted. And we can see he talked about it in his speech, and we can see in today's game the real value of having a closer is that it really shortens that game. It makes it an eight-inning game. And the Yankees went out and they got David Bednar, who's been great for the Pirates this year closing games. Went and got another high-leverage guy, Camilo Duvall. You have that Luke Weaver. So you have like a few guys who can kind of fit in those late-inning roles, and they really did address that well. I want to also talk about Ryan McMahon and his impact so far to this team. And coming into the trade deadline, a lot of people kind of predicted a Eugenio Suarez to the Yankees just because of the bat he would bring. But then the Yankees kind of went out. And I don't know if I want to call it a surprise, but maybe a little bit of one that they went out and got Ryan McMahon instead. And he has looked great both offensively and defensively so far with this team.
Yeah, definitely someone they needed. And I think also when you think about Jose Caballero, might have just butchered that name, but that was also a great pickup with 34 steals on the season. So I think the Yankees definitely had a great trade deadline. They got the pitchers. I agree with the pitchers because when you have a guy like Devin Williams who can really, you know, put some innings up, I mean, as a Brewers fan, I've seen him do it for years. The only thing that becomes a problem with him is when you have to use him too much. And he gets tired before that postseason teams have seen him once or twice. He kind of loses that flair when you've seen the guy and he's a little bit tired. So adding that strength to the bullpen is definitely going to be great, especially when you have guys like Ryan McMahon just having a great season so far, especially with the Yankees.
I saw the Ryan McMahon trade, and I at first was a little disappointed because I was big on Eugenio Suarez, but looking into his defense, he's not great defensively. I looked at, I mean, errors aren't obviously the greatest way to gauge someone's defense, but he leads, I believe, third baseman, or he's at the very top in errors. And then I remember watching the first game that Ryan McMahon played as a Yankees fan, and the thing that like really stood out to me was he made a diving play and then made a really strong throw to third. And I haven't seen a strong throw like that's set at accurate from third base in a while from a Yankee. And that really stood out to me as like a big piece that the Yankees have been missing, that like strong arm, that really like brick wall at third base or brick wall anywhere defensively that we haven't seen in a while. And it's just, I mean, he's also showed up offensively, obviously. I mean, he had that walk off. He's been batting really, really well. He seems to be fitting in super well in this Yankees lineup, and they seem to be welcoming him with open arms, and as for good reason.
Yeah, the defense has been there from him. The offense has been there despite his, if you call it a slower season, for McMahon. The offense since coming to the Yankees has definitely been there. And there's one more guy I kind of want to talk about here for the Yankees, who I think went a little under the radar just because he's not a big name. But Austin Slater, trading for him right after that Judge injury to his elbow, where you see he's going to be out for a couple weeks and then not playing the outfield for even longer. And then you'll have Giancarlo Stanton out in right field, which, even as someone who's not a Yankees fan, I don't even want to watch that. I don't know if he can run well enough to track down balls in the gaps or anything like that. So going out and getting a guy like Austin Slater, who's not a big name but can be someone who can go play out in the outfield for you, I think a really, really underrated trade for the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees, the biggest thing they need is always going to be consistency. And I think this guy is consistent, right? Looking at the Giants, I mean, the Giants were expecting to be that big team, right? And there's already two guys that they let go of that were pretty consistent. Is he the best guy they could have gotten from the Giants? Not particularly, but is it the guy that they could afford and who's going to actually help them win some games? I definitely think so. So, I mean, once again, great, great trade deadline for the Yankees. I mean, I was actually really impressed. Didn't think they were going to be able to pull something like this off.
As a Yankee fan, I'm also impressed. I was doubting Brian Cashman quite a bit, but I'm glad he came through. Everyone seems to be happy about it. I am a little upset there's no starting pitcher in the hall, but Luis Hill's coming back, so they should be set up well enough, and that bullpen can definitely put in some work.
Props to Cashman. I feel like every time I checked Twitter yesterday, it was Yankees, Yankees, Yankees. Seven guys they brought in. I want to kind of shift a little bit south of the Yankees. I want to go to Queens. I want to talk about the Mets because, again, another New York team who I think at least had a fantastic trade deadline. They went out and they got their outfielder in Cedric Mullins. And then they also boosted that bullpen with Tyler Rogers and Ryan Helsley. And I want to start with Cedric Mullins, because looking at this Mets team, you knew that their biggest holes were going to be in that outfield, possibly the third base side, and the bullpen. And they went and they addressed the outfield with someone who isn't statistically having the best season, but obviously we've seen him at his peak a few years ago, back in 2021, 2022, where he was around a 300 hitter. He can definitely flash the leather out there. But Cedric Mullins, I think, is a very good addition for this Mets team.
I
Yeah, and I
100%
think,
agree.
oh, wait, no, go ahead. Go
Oh,
ahead.
sorry. Oh, I 100% agree to that, because shocked when I first saw it that they traded for Cedric Mullins. I wasn't even sure he was available from the Orioles, but they seem to be selling basically everyone except their super young guys. But I mean, he's shown flashes of even 30-30 seasons, which is a big piece that can be added to any offense, especially the Mets with their gaps in the outfield. But that defense is also going to help them out. He can show flashes of power. He can show flashes of speed. He can do a lot for that offense, but also a lot for that defense. And I think he's a huge addition to any team, but especially for the Mets to fill that gap with someone like him. is huge.
Yeah, I know he hasn't been having a great season. The only thing is, I feel like that was definitely due to his environment, right? The Orioles aren't having a great season, and you don't really see anyone on that team necessarily playing up to their what they act like more. I mean, this is my problem, is every time I see a player on the U.S. national team, I immediately think he is the best player in the world in his position, right? And so I still kind of have that mind towards him. So I think this is a great trade for them off that. But I also think just overall as a player, he's going to fit the Mets system really well. And he's actually going to help them a lot in the outfield. Especially, I mean, a lot of people will probably disagree, but I'm not a huge fan of the Mets outfield. And I think that he really helps round it out.
Yeah, you have Soto out and right. Sorry, Derek. You
He's
have
also not a
him
great,
out.
he's not a great fielder. Like Soto
He's
is,
not.
the
He's
Nationals
not.
used to put him
He's
on, they
not.
used to put him on the warning track because they're like, he has a better chance of running in and catching a ball than doing any other movement. So, I mean, I love Soto because he's great, great guy, great player, but his fielding is not there.
Great hitter, but cannot catch a ball.
No.
You have Soto out and right. You have him out and left, but you have, I guess. You can call it a hole out in center. You had a hole out in center. You had Tyrone Taylor playing there a lot, who started out the year pretty decent. I mean, he was hitting in the 250, 260 range and was a very good fielder. But as of the past couple of months, we've seen that average just continue to drop to about where the same spot Cedric Mullins is. But we've seen flashes from Mullins. We've seen him in his prime, what he can do. I think it's a great addition for the Mets. And I want to shift. Their bullpen, they went out and got Tyler Rogers and Ryan Helsley, who led the league in saves last year. Two very good pitchers, high leverage arms to slot into those late innings. Add those guys onto Edwin Diaz. You have a 7-8-9 combo kind of in any order that you want. And I think now this Mets bullpen is something that's very scary and is going to be something that a lot of teams do not want to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, really surprised that not only the Yankees, but the Mets, strengthen up their bullpen. I mean, you never really see both New York teams doing what they need to do in a trade deadline. So I think this is going to be great. Had as a Brewers fan, once again, have seen Tyler Rogers firsthand, right? Great pitcher. I think it was Tyler Rogers. I get confused because they're twins, but 90% sure it was Tyler Rogers. I mean, great pitcher. It's just, you don't see that enough these days, the sidearm, that it's actually going to work great for them. And I think it's all about bullpen. I think that's what they realized last season in the playoffs, is that without that bullpen, they're kind of missing out and they're kind of going to be struggling in those games in October. So they understand they're going to make it this year. They have that confidence now. It's not about making it there, it's about making it worth it when they're there. So I think they did the right thing here.
Yeah, I mean, just like you said, both New York teams with, I mean, fantastic bullpens. There were a lot of bullpen pieces moved around. I mean, obviously, and both added to the Mets, but then even Johan Duran added to the Phillies. Like a lot of bullpen pieces were moved around to teams that needed big bullpen guys, and it shows that these teams care about their bullpens. And when you pair the starting pitching that the Mets have had so far this season with a bullpen that can shut down 7, 8, and 9. I mean, that's a formidable foe for anyone in the playoffs that the Mets seem to be on track for.
Yeah, bullpens definitely win you games. And before we move off the Mets, I want to talk about just kind of one more thing is you look at this Mets team and their third base and their starting pitching. They didn't make any moves there. And so I want to know what you guys think. Was it the wrong move that you are gonna kind of go with the Vientos Beatty third base combo? Do you think they should have gone out and tried to get someone? Or do you think is a fair play for them to try and stick that out and ride that out, hoping that we see the Vientos from last year?
I mean, I think, ooh, that's difficult because I do think it was actually a smart move not to go out and trade a bunch of people to get someone like Suarez, right? I don't think they really needed that, especially with the bats in their lineup. And I mean, I really think one of the two is going to step up. They have about a month or so, month and a half to do so. And I mean, I think they got what they needed, which was the bullpen, and that was their focus. And I'm glad they didn't stray from it. I mean, I'm not a Mets fan, but as a sports fan, it's awesome to see a front office stick to what they wanted and stick to what their plan was. And I mean, it was great. So I think not getting a third baseman isn't going to hurt them in the long run. I think the people they were able to get is going to be more beneficial than anyone they could have stuck on the hot corner.
I agree with that. I'm not sure about third base. I'm not sure about their situation 100%, but starting pitching, they're starting to get guys back that were injured at the beginning of the year. Sean Manaea, I believe, has come back. Frankie Montas, I believe, has come back. And they've had guys step up. Somehow, Clay Holmes has turned into a starter. No idea how they managed to do that, but he has turned into a pretty good starter over there. So I don't know if they necessarily needed a starter. I mean, it couldn't have hurt them, but. Like we've all been saying, the bullpen was the big thing. They've definitely addressed that. They've addressed their weaknesses, and they're a good team so far.
I like the moves they made. I would have loved to see them. I don't know if third base is the right move. I think all the third basemen that were going to be sold were pretty much sold to other teams, but a Zach Gallen or a Joe Ryan, something along those lines. If the Mets would have tried to trade for one of those guys, I would have liked to see that from them. That's gonna be it for Mets, but I want to talk about take a step back and talk about the rest of the MLB because it was such a big trade deadline. And I want to talk about first kind of the Diamondbacks selling and the Mariners buying. Sticking to that AL West, I mean, both Naylor and Eugenio Suarez were traded from the Diamondbacks to the Mariners. The Mariners, their strength over the past few years, call it 5 years, has always been their starting pitching between Gilbert and Brian Wu, and whoever else they throw out there. Their pitching has always been top of the league, but their bats have always been a step below that. This year, they actually have the bats to back it up, and then they go and grab Naylor and Suarez, two of the best bats out on the market. Yeah, the Mariners, I think, really, really did a great job with this trade deadline.
Yeah, honestly, I was very surprised that they got Suarez after the fact, right? Expected it to be a part of that first deal. And then when it didn't happen, it was very, I mean, it's great to see him back in Seattle. And I think this is going to be great for an already great Seattle Mariners offense. But I mean, I think if this might not end up being as great for them as they wanted, right? As other teams in the AL were loading up on pitchers, they were kind of loading up on hitters, and so it's going to be that fire and ice battle. See who made the right decision, whether to go for the pitching or go for the hitting.
I mean, if you look at the Mariners lineup now, they now have Naylor, they now have Suarez, they have Cal Raleigh, who still leads the league in homers. They have Julio Rodriguez, who has shown flashes in the past of being a really, really good hitter. This year hasn't really shown up too much, but he's still a good hitter to throw out there. They have Randy Rosarena out in the outfield. They have some really good hitters that can put up a lot of runs. Plus, like we've already said, their starting pitching and like all their pitching in general has always been good. The Mariners have always thrown out good pitching. I love Brian Wu. I love Brian Wu out there. He's always good. He no-hit the Yankees for quite a bit, and then we ended up winning that game, but still anyway. The Mariners, I mean, they look a lot better than they did before the trade deadline. I mean, I wasn't necessarily scared of them before, but now adding a few hitters to pair with their pitching, it's gonna be a battle.
I think the Mariners are greatly improved. I want to stay in the AL West for a second and look at the Astros and the Rangers too. I mean, the Astros go and they bring Correa back. He was there for their 2017 World Series, the one with the asterisk next to it.
Don't
And
talk
then the
about
Ra we don't talk about that one. We
it. We don't.
forget that one. That one's out of the history books.
Thank you.
And then the Rangers go and they get Merrill Kelly and a couple of bullpen guys and Phil Maton and Danny Colombe. How much do you think that this division, well, what is it like a more competitive division between these three teams? Did one of these three teams kind of wow you and you think that they're going to take the division? It seems like these three teams, whether they're all vying for playoff spots, went pretty heavily into the buy side. So which of these three teams, kind of between the Mariners, Astros, and Rangers, was the most impressive to you guys?
I mean, I think for me, it would be the Astros. I think bringing Correa back is actually it's a very brave decision, right? You've had your time with him. It's not like he's retiring and you're bringing him back for like a retirement tour, right?
He's playing
So I
third
think it
base
was a
for him
very,
too.
I know, which
He's
is, I
the
mean,
third.
great for them, because I think having a guy like that have the humility, almost like an A-Rod, right? Almost, all right, like I want to be on a good team, don't want to be on the Twins. So I'll play third base for you. Like I'll do it for you guys. And I think that's exactly what they need, is that type of leadership right now in the clubhouse. And I think it's going to be beneficial for them, because they're already having a great season, right? 62 wins already, tied. Actually, I think they're a little bit below now. I think some teams are at 64 now. So, but I think they're having a great season. So I think the Astros really are going to probably still win the division. However, the Rangers did take Merrill Kelly, someone I really wanted as a Brewers fan. So we got Miller instead. We'll get over it. But yeah, so I think the Rangers are just as, I mean, they're still in a wild card spot, right? And we've seen this Rangers team before. We've seen what the clubhouse can do. They just need an opportunity. They just need a chance. So yeah, I mean, as long as they have a chance, I think there's nothing that can stop them.
I agree with the Astros. I think they added what they needed to, and I think that they're definitely a better team than they were a few days ago. And I think the Mariners are also, I think it's going to be competitive between the Astros and the Mariners. Not sure if the Mariners can make up the hole that they're in the division, as the Astros are a few games ahead of them. I don't know if the Rangers added enough offense, because the offense has been struggling quite a bit this whole year. I mean, some of their guys have picked it up, but I'm not sure if they've picked it up enough to be competitive. I mean, their starting pitching and their bullpen have been pretty good throughout the year, and they added even more. But I'm just not sure if they added enough offensively to make up for the woes that they've had so far in the players that they have.
I agree with both of you. I'm kind of sitting in the middle when it comes to I'm a Rangers fan, and when it comes to the Rangers, for me, you get a guy like Merrill Kelly, who is a fantastic pitcher, and he's going to come in and be your third or fourth option, which is just a testament to this pitching staff and what they've done all year. You go and get two bullpen guys, two great bullpen arms, which is adding on to a already great bullpen, but there is a lack of offense, and we've seen it sort of start to pick up recently. But I just hate seeing Jock Peterson sit there in that five spot in the DH role with the season that he's having. I know we've seen him have so much success in the past, but it pains me so much to see that guy get a spot in the lineup day in and day out right now. And I would have liked to see us go get a Ryan O'Hearn or something like that. But I think this AL West is going to be very competitive coming down the stretch. Derek, you mentioned him earlier. Johan Duran to the Phillies. A big move. One of the best closers in the game goes and to the a very competitive team in the Phillies. They had lost Alvarado to PEDs, and they go and they get their high leverage arm in Duran, one of the many guys that the Twins gave up this year. And we'll get to that in a second. But what do you think of this move, Duran to the Phillies, for both the Twins kind of signaling that they're selling, and the Phillies going all in on getting their high leverage guy?
I
Yeah.
mean,
Oh, wait, go ahead. Yeah.
the Phillies really, really needed a bullpen piece. They really, really needed that closer, because Hoffman in their bullpen has not been the closer that he was. Or not Hoffman. They got rid of Hoffman from the Blue Jays. I forget his name, but he hasn't been that piece that they wanted him to be. At their closer, and Johan Duran is absolutely that guy. I mean, when you throw a 98-mile-an-hour splitter, it's hard to not be a really good pitcher in the game. But I mean, he's the piece that the Phillies really, really, really needed, and he's the biggest piece that they probably could have gotten outside of maybe a different closer. But either way, it's still good for them. And then over on the Twins side, I mean, the Twins basically half their lineup and half their pitchers are gone. They're like their entire. If I'm a Twins fan right now, I'm disappointed because everyone in my lineup that was there yesterday isn't going to be in there anymore. I mean, everyone in AAA in the Twin system is getting called up right now. They're a lot of their team is gone, which I mean, they got hauls back for everyone they traded, but they're definitely selling, and I don't know what they're going to be doing in the next few years, but it's definitely going to be quite the rebuild.
Yeah, and I think Duran was also just such a good decision, especially in how close of a race they are right now for that division. Someone, I mean, it's funny to me because I feel like Duran was the bigger move for the Phillies, but Harrison Bader's getting all the attention for this, right? Like you search up trade news and it goes Phillies, Harrison Bader, Harrison Bader. They're a part of the same trade, so I mean, I think Harrison Bader does actually play a role in this just because he is such a hard worker, right? Any infield, if it's a run, a ball that he could possibly run out, he does, and he tries his hardest each time. So that's going to be huge for the Phillies. But Duran is going to be the star of this trade, right? And I think it's exactly what they need. I think he's going to thrive off that energy he's going to get in Philly. Probably was missing that a little bit in Minnesota. And I think it's going to be great for him and for the team.
Johan Duran from the Twins. Keep in mind, this was a Twins team that 2 or 3 years ago won a wild card series against the Blue Jays, and now they're in sell mode. They traded 10 of their 26 rostered players on their major league roster. Just insane to see kind of that transition from playoff team to arguably the biggest seller of the year. And there's one more guy I really want to talk about. Last year we saw it in the trade deadline. There were zero top 100 prospects traded. This year we had the number 3 overall prospect, Leo DeVries, traded from the Padres to the A's for JP Sears and Mason Miller. The Padres get their high leverage guy. They get Mason Miller, one of the best closers in the game. And then the A's go get their future star, one of their future stars. And it looks like they are going to be an up-and-coming team, but I want to focus on the Padres side first. Do you think that it is worth it on the Padres side to go and get such a good relief arm who has team control for the next 4 years, but you gave up one of your best prospects as you have seen in years?
I mean, my cousin is a huge Padres fan, and I was getting text messages the last couple of days that were not very happy, right? I mean, obviously you can't say that picking someone like that up is a bad call. But what I think you can say is clearing out your farm system when you are barely holding on to a wild card spot right now is maybe not the move that they needed to make, right? And I think on the A's side, picking someone up like that is great for them because honestly, their rookies have been fantastic. The young players have been fantastic this year. And I think this is definitely going to be a team, especially once they move to Las Vegas, where they're going to be able to attract bigger names, right? I think this is going to be better for them in the long run, but for the Padres, I mean, they just genuinely, it was very confusing to me because they just kept, it was like, all right, they got rid of a couple prospects. They're loaded in that field, right? All right, they got rid of a couple more. All right, it was like they were clearing out and they were going for it. It was almost like they were battling for the division right now, and they're like, we need that number one spot. So we need that number one spot in the playoffs. But it's also like you're not very close to the number one spot. So it was very interesting to me. I don't think you can ever say it's a bad choice to pick someone up like Miller, but it is possibly going to be 1, 2 years of if we don't win, this was all a mistake. Or if we don't win big games, it was all a mistake.
I 100% agree with that. I don't hate the move whatsoever. I like Mason Miller. He throws 104. You can't hate that. But I mean, they traded so many prospects and all the trades they made. They like you said, they're clearing out. But the one thing that I think could help them is I think they stated that they want to try and make Mason Miller a starter. And if that's successful, like a Clay Holmes type project, and you can have a starter in Mason Miller that throws 102. And he can be really productive for you, and especially since they have control until 2030, I think that could help loosen the blow, giving up your the number 3 prospect in all of baseball. But That's so many prospects to give up, and all the trades they made. It's an insane thing to do.
Yeah, and I have the list right here. It's so they had that number three. They had their own number three prospect, the number six prospect in the system, the number eight, nine, 13, 16, and 17. They just cleared house. They're like, yeah, we're just gonna go for it all here. I don't know. Maybe go for it. I don't, it's like, it's just a weird thing to do, in my opinion.
I mean, it's six prospects for a closer and then a
And Nestor
starter who
Cortez. An average starter, yeah.
A guy who is now gonna have to play a team who practically ruined his career the season before on a consistent level. So I mean, I love Nestor, but this is, I mean, he's gonna have to play the Dodgers pretty often. So redemption time for him in the coming years.
I heard talks about Nestor going to the Yankees, and I'm not sure if he would have enjoyed that, and I don't know if Yankees fans would have enjoyed that, but I think
Yeah, I was
San
about to
Diego
say, I don't think
would.
you guys would like that. I mean,
I think, I mean, I'm not a Yankees fan, but like, as a Yankees fan, like, you hate to see what's happened to him, kind of, right? Like, came to the Brewers, he was expected to be our number two guy. Then obviously, Miz happens, Woodruff comes back, we get Priester, we have Quintana. He didn't fit in that role whatsoever, and he's not a bullpen guy. I mean, he's kind of shown that he doesn't like or prefer to pitch out of that bullpen. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting what the Padres do with him. But as a Yankees fan, I feel like you can be a little happy that he's finally on a team that maybe fits his style a little bit. He missed the pinstripes. I mean, the Brewers had pinstripes, but he missed two sets of pinstripes is what he missed. So,
You mentioned all the prospects that Padres GM AJ Preller traded away this year. Here's a list of all the prospects he's traded away ever, and it is filled with recognizable names: Trey Turner, James Wood, Max Fried, Josh Naylor, Andrés Muñoz, Mackenzie Gore, David Bednar, C.J. Abrams, Xavier Edwards, Zach Eflin, Hunter Renfroe, Leo DeVries, Braden Nett, Ryan Weathers, Robbie Snelling, River Ryan, Brent Rooker. So he is obviously no stranger to selling out his entire farm system for a chance to try and win now. But I want to talk about, before we wrap up, the A's real quick and what they're building for the future. You now look at this team and call it in the next 3 years. You have DeVries at short. You can move Jacob Wilson over to second. You have Nick Kurtz starting over at first. You have almost the entire infield set in stone for the next 10, 15 years. And you look at the outfield, you have guys like Lawrence Butler, Denzel Clark. You can see that the A's are really trying to build something for when they move to Vegas. Is this trade for DeVries, is this something that impresses you for the A's future? And how good do you think they will be in, call it, 3 to 5 years?
I wouldn't even call it 3 to 5. I'd call it even 1 to 2 years, possibly. I think you're seeing it more often, rookies coming up and teams being consisted of a lot of young players and being much better than everyone projected, right? Like, even look at, I mean, a little biased, but look at the Brewers. There's not many players on that team that you can consistently say or confidently say is a veteran or has played the game a long time. You have Yelich, you have a couple other guys, but like rookies are killing it now. And I think this A's is, I'm excited for it. I think Miller was definitely a hard person to lose, but who you get in return for it, I think the A's could be a wild card team in 1 to 2 years. And I would love to see it because, I mean, while they are not in Oakland any longer, it will definitely bring a lot of joy to the people of Oakland. To see this team that they so hard they tried so hard to love and keep there, but you know you still want to see these players succeed. And I mean, I'm excited. I think they're gonna be great. I'm on the A's train, to be honest.
I agree 100%. I mean, they're so young. They have so many young guys. The biggest thing is they just need to find some pitching. Is like, I mean, we've outlined they have the infield, they have the outfield. They don't have a ton of pitching in that bullpen. They don't have a ton of pitching in that starting lineup. But I mean, if they can find some pitching, they just got a ton of prospects. If they can find some good pitching in those prospects and bring them up soon, and we've seen a lot of pitching prospects come up really fast in the minors and do well. I mean, Paul Skenes was only in the minors for a few months, and he already multiple like in talks of Cy Young multiple times. I mean, if you can find some good pitching prospects that can throw hard, they can have nasty stuff, bring them up early, hopefully don't ruin their development. They can easily make a wild card 2 years when they move to Vegas.
The A's are definitely going to be a scary team in the next few years, but that's going to do it from us here on this week's edition of Nosebleeds. We talked all things trade deadline, a big one this year, bigger than most of the past few years. But that is where we are going to leave it. For Max Bitz and Derek Bollier, I'm Brendan Shorey saying so long. See you guys next week on the next episode of Nosebleeds. Nosebleeds is a production of WFUV Sports.
Watching it from the bench, you know I took some lumps when the mic